This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST. Almost on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
How do I make a button work over here?
Do I need to come in there?
No, absolutely not. Not allowed.
I don't know what you've done.
At the commercial break, by the way, we'll fix this. We'll Freaky Friday our way back.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Will we?
I don't know.
Almost entirely.
How do I play?
Just click.
Clicky button.
Click. You just click
part
one of three the has to be on. You click on it.
What did you do?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Which hotkey are you clicking? What are you trying to click?
I don't want
to
tell you. Don't come in here, Beards. No, Beards, go away!
But see, if you don't, I know you don't want to tell us, but at some point, you kind of have to give us something.
I'm trying not to hit the breaking news one, and it's not playing.
Is Cart 3 up?
Yes.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Jason.
Hey, ask Jason.
So why isn't this playing?
Oh, because this is old audio. It's being rejected. You have jammed up the whole. I need to reboot it.
See, I asked you if there was text in the top left corner.
April Fool's, Jason.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think maybe today will be the day that we actually get to a little bit more of the audio that I've been lying to you about several days about getting to. Also, a few more stories around the world of the Chiefs and the AFC West and all that. We're probably not going to leave any. We're probably not going to leave the realm of the Chiefs NFL draft very much here on tonight's edition of Almost Entirely Sports. I have to imagine, just sort of knowing our general audience, that you'll be okay with that fact. Welcome in to the show. It's myself and Rudy Salazar here tonight. Beards McFly back on Friday. He's getting a COVID shot and moving.
Maybe back on Friday.
He may be back on Friday.
We'll
That's
see.
True. Also,
I don't know if we're going to be here on Friday.
You know, we could all be dead by Sunday, Kyle Shanahan once said. I don't. There's no chance that Beards is listening, so I'm going to say this. Just
Beards is not checking the group, like the WhatsApp
no
message
chance.
Thread. Beards is completely out. I sent him an email. There was no response.
You sent him an email?
Well, I attached him on an email sent to somebody else about
Got
the
it.
Camera issues yesterday. Just because I wanted Beards to be in the loop. I was like, hey, we're
sure.
having this problem. I don't know if it's going to be a long-term thing. It's fine now. The camera looks sparkly clean. You know what? We have no need to go to it, but I'm going to go to it so you can see it.
It does look great.
It looks good now.
What a weird issue.
But I wanted to include them, and I kind of thought there might just, not a response to the said email, but like he would then just send a message in the group, just like, what's up with the camera? No. Beers is checked out.
And,
which
I mean,
is no different than a normal day, but.
So what I was going to say with the full support of just sort of rampant, you know, just being honest and knowing that we're not going to have to take this from Beards at any point. The exact joke I'm about to make, I think genuinely has gotten to a point where it is actively bothering him. I feel like he's taken this as a personal attack. Well, I don't really mean for it to, but that is kind of the joke. He's taking off 3 days to get his first COVID shot and to move. And I think Rudy took off a Saturday and is currently on his post-first COVID shot grind right now.
I did take off the Friday like that because that was the day I was like, okay, I have to
be. You weren't going to be here anyway, though.
I had no shows to do. If I would have came into work, I honestly would have came into work to just set on my computer. I probably would have found something, but I didn't have a lot to do that day.
Someone would have found something for you.
True. I was gonna make a joke, but I forgot the joke and now I remember the joke. How many times do you think Rebecca has to like get Beards back on track because he's busy searching, like because he's busy on Reddit?
I just think that's a constant state of their
right?
relationship.
But I mean,
I don't
like,
think she's
like
ever
she's,
not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like she's packing up stuff. Beards is supposed to be, but he's now on Reddit's caught his attention on something. And it's like what we do here.
Yeah.
But it's there, obviously. It's real life now.
I'm just glad that he's not here to either take offense to or defend himself on this topic.
And he'll never hear this.
Never. Don't. And hey, everybody, I
honestly,
know you're thinking right now, hey, I'm listening to the show. I can send it to him. It'll be funny. Don't.
Tweet him. He won't see it.
I'm not going to dare you to tweet him because I don't want that.
Yeah,
heat.
I'm not daring him. But, you guys either. But I don't think he would.
I'm also currently having a hard time just getting the computer to my left. Like, I think I just turned it off. I'm sort of confused. I don't have any comments up yet, but if you want to leave a comment in one of our various places, we'll get to them eventually. You can go to the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels and interact with the show that way. Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know what you're thinking about whatever it is that we end up talking about. Predominantly, we will talk Chiefs draft today, which is always something that I'm happy to be doing. I mean, you know what? I've rebooted the computer. Now it's turning on. So, you know. Did I try turning it off and turning it back on again? No. Then I did, and I fixed it. Would you look at that?
I got to say, I want to point this out, too. I'm backtracking a little bit to, again, when I got my shot.
Yeah.
So I signed up for an appointment. Part of that was expecting, like, you kind of, like, essentially, like, you kind of needed one. Honestly, I don't think I would have really ever needed one. I think I could have just, because I even said walk-ins welcome. But how organized it all was. I was essentially in a warehouse and there was a bunch of people there and everybody just kept pointing me like you go boom, boom, boom.
You went to a warehouse?
It was essentially kind of like a warehouse. It was Johnson County's health deal. Like it was like you go through a building, like just like a normal building, and then you kind of go to the back and warehouse is probably the wrong word. It's probably more of like a gymnasium-ish type.
Sure.
You know, big open. But I would say it's bigger than your normal gymnasium. A lot of space, but there were tons of people there pointing me around. I got from the start of the line to the end of the line in 5 minutes tops.
Seems like something people should do.
Yeah, then I had to sit there for 15 minutes just to make sure, you know, they're just like, hey, sit here for 15 minutes just to make sure you don't have any immediate bad side effects.
Right.
That way, if you do, we're here. Nobody did. I don't think most people do. But it's just when you get a shot, you're generally supposed to just wait like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smart method. Boom. It was fast and efficient. And I was honestly surprised because, like, I just don't expect really anything to ever be fast or efficient because very few things in my life are. And this was wildly fast, wildly efficient. I went through the Johnson County Health Department website. They're great.
Especially medical things. You just sort of assume there's going to be, like, a 45-minute wait somewhere along the line because it's a medical thing. and doctors are late. That's sort of, dentists are late, doctors are late, they get backed up, they don't keep up with their schedule. It just happens like all the time. I went to a Walgreens twice. And the first, you mentioned this, I noticed this on my second shot. The first time I went, they're like, yeah, please just have a seat over there for, 10 or 15 minutes and just make sure, like you said, nothing crazy happens or anything. And then you're good to go. I said, cool. So I waited a full 15 and I went, all right, thanks everybody. Peaced out. The second time, the pharmacist said, you can wait around for 15 minutes. So I don't even know if I sat down. I kind of walked away, like, slowly. I think I sent a text.
Yeah.
Responding to a text message that I had recently missed. And then I left. Because it was fine.
This just, like, describes the type of person that I am. Like, at one point, I was sitting down. It was, like, 14 minutes in. And I was like, it's been 14 minutes. I kind of started it. And I was like,
yep.
No, I'm just going to wait till 15 minutes. Yep. It was 9:05 when I sat down. It's going to be 9:20 when I stand up.
That's what I did on my first go-round. Second go-round, I definitely...
Well, they gave you the option.
They gave me
That's
permission,
the thing. They
essentially.
They gave you permission.
Yeah, absolutely. So I took that permission and walked right out the door with it. There you go.
Incredible Hulk says he's feeling like Thanos just beat him up.
So that's really...
Speaking of the movie,
yeah.
That doesn't seem great.
It's kind of funny. This is a point that somebody made to me yesterday at some point, I think. Everyone who says they... Someone may have said this on the show. If I'm missing somebody saying this on the show, then I apologize. But somebody said that, a lot of people have said, oh, man, I got my COVID shot, and I feel like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah, that was me.
You use that. Lots of people use that phrase.
Oh, gotcha.
Someone said this, made this point.
Gotcha.
Everyone who has said that the COVID shot makes them feel like they got hit by a truck
has never been hit by a truck.
Has almost certainly never been hit by a truck.
Say that it was somebody I think we had on the show.
Okay,
recently.
So it could have been
because I think I also heard this.
It could have been.
Oh, was it Lebo? I think it was Lebo.
Lebo said that.
Lebo said it yesterday
when
we had our powwow when the very nice lady, Barbara, brought us cookies.
Good cookies too.
Very good cookies. Barbara, if you're listening, the cookies were great.
They were really excellent.
They did not last more than... One of them technically lasted more than an hour because it just kind of got left behind, but they were gone within an hour.
Yeah, and that last one was Rudy's like little take-home pick-me-up.
I forgot about it, so the second I got in today, I ate it.
Oh, it made it till this morning.
Yes, I forgot about it.
But that's great,
second
though.
Second I got in, I walked into the office, I saw it there. I was like, oh boy, here we go.
You got surprise little cookies treat. Twice. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's
I was
perfect.
Happy.
So, there's that. I think if
by
you can
way,
frame up my camera, I feel like I need my the camera needs to scooch, because I'd really like to be kind of here.
Yeah, that's
if
fine.
Just kind of scooch bring me the camera a little bit. Sorry, you were going to say something that
yes.
I'm asking you to say
you're
while
good.
You're editing the camera.
Caden pointed out that the place where I'm trying to do both things here.
I know it's tough. Perfect. Yeah. That's perfect.
The place
you've nailed
where
it.
Yeah, so the place where I got my shot was is an abandoned Best Buy that was a Spirit of Halloween last October.
Is
and that,
that
checked
right?
out because it was like it was a bigger it wasn't a warehouse like you're right, it wasn't a warehouse. The warehouse was just kind of the first thing popped in my mind because there's nothing in it. But it definitely looked like a bigger retail store. Like a Best Buy. It's like that checks out.
That's pretty good actually. You know what I did over the weekend that I
Darth
haven't brought
Maul
up yet?
Darth Maul says he's here for your pee punch. Z-Man asked if Thanos is the dude from Superman that freezes everyone that Wesley Snipes played.
Yes.
Yes.
That is Thanos. And also, happy today, the Revenge of the Fifth. Yet another day honoring the tremendous Star Trek franchise.
Love it.
Live long and prosper.
I spent the whole day thinking it was the 6th until this exact moment.
Yesterday was the 4th.
I thought yesterday was the 5th, to be honest. I thought it was
what?
A joke where it was the day we were making the jokes the day after.
What?
Yeah.
You were doing a whole other layer
yep.
of meta on that then.
Yep. I thought it was like a joke because it's the day after the 5th and we were like, yep, or the day after the 4th. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Wow.
I saw a lot of people tweeting about it and I thought all the tweets were also the jokes. I'm really off right now date-wise. I'm learning some things about myself right now.
Quick, what year is it?
1992.
Correct.
The Lord of our Savior.
The Lord of our Savior?
1992.
The year of our Lord?
Yes.
Rudy's got the excuse now. You got it. You listen. You got the
foggy
shot.
Foggy brain.
What am I going to do? Be a bleep pull to the guy that just got his exactly. COVID vaccine? Absolutely not.
I'm a half vaccinated man. Okay, the brain's not fully functioning yet. I got 3 weeks on a half vaccinated brain.
How long do you think we can blame all that? I was talking to the Drake. I think that probably feels right. I was talking to Jason just a little bit before the show, and I was explaining my slightly puffy armpit and how that's my one side effect. Vaccine-wise at this point.
Very weird side effect.
Really weird. I mean, the
totally
logic
fine,
of it makes
just,
sense.
Just weird.
That there's a lymph node under there, that it swells up whenever that lymph node is doing work for your immune system, and it's right by where it's the closest, I guess, lymph node to where, you know, where the shot went and everything. So the logic of it actually all makes perfect sense. It is just also obviously very weird.
Yeah.
But I was talking about that very strange side effect, and had mentioned that you said that you feel like you got hit by a truck on shot number one, and
doing better than now. I think part of it was shot one just made me tired, and I was already tired, and so you had this double tired just hitting me, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's
arm
like any,
does hurt a little bit.
A little tendon.
And then the right arm started to hurt, but I think that was just because of like the way I was doing a lot of typing today and the way I was. I think part of this is just being tall and not being able to, like, I'm still trying to figure out how to get, like, sometimes up to a desk, like, the most ergonomically correct way. That just kind of sometimes will make, and I type in a weird way where, like, my left wrist is, like, on the computer, but my right wrist is not. So, like, it's almost like my right arm is, like, actively up in the air, whereas, like, my left isn't. I think it's just, like, a little off, and it just makes my arm a little sore if I type too much. It's weird.
Can you find the breaking news sound effect for me?
Ooh, let's see.
I know this is a pretty heavy reach here, but I do need it because I promise you what it's going to be for will ultimately be worth it. Also, there are a few sort of minor Chiefs moves today that I do want to talk about here that we will do momentarily. Breaking news: Mark Mangino just tweeted out a picture of a package of bratwursts.
Now I'm hungry.
They're actually technically, I believe, they are. Knackwurst?
What's that?
I think it's got to be a bratwurst, but judging by the bottom of the picture. But he just tweeted that out with, "Who said I only like Italian food?" And
I want to hang out with Mark Mangino.
I do too, man. That's
like
all that I really
Twitter
want.
Handles keep sawing wood.
Yeah,
it's not like at Mark, yo, Coach Mangino, or at, you know, Mark Mangino. Like that's just Mark Mangino's cool.
His previous tweet was 40 minutes ago. It was a picture of a sign with a Texas logo. So I imagine it's got to be in Texas. There's Texas sort of around the letters and words H-T-O. And he said, this place is iced tea heaven. Is there a place just for iced tea in Texas called H-T-O?
The,
of course there is.
I say the southern states love their tea. Like it is, and it's a little different because like iced tea and sweet tea is not the exact same, but you know, it's tea. Like when I was in Kentucky, sweet tea is a religion.
I was going to say a religious experience. Yeah, that makes sense.
People don't mess around with their sweet tea down there, man.
H-T-O sounds incredible. I'm a big fan.
I bet
of
it is like a tea place.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what it sounds like, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's a very clever name, by the way.
It's really good. I'm a big fan. I don't need to upgrade on Quick Trip right now. I'm even currently drinking a peach tea flavored G Fuel because my brand is pretty consistent at this point. But I would enjoy a specific, like, iced tea joint. Just somewhere within our general range. Although Quick Trip's tea, I think, is very underrated. They have a whole section of it, the one by here. It's wonderful.
Have I told you about my tea story? Like, recently?
Well,
you
know,
I think
what?
I like tea now?
At this point, man, it would be absolutely bonkers for me not to ask for the tea story, and then we can talk about the Chiefs' minor moves they made earlier today.
Yeah, it's not like a necessarily like a super crazy story or anything, but I went to... I believe it was just getting a Dr. Pepper from McDonald's, like just one morning for breakfast. And I remember getting handed the drink, right?
Yeah.
Like I got my food, got my drink. The Chicken McGriddle is it's an experience, man.
McDonald's breakfast.
I gotta limit myself to like once a week tops, otherwise I'll just eat way too many Chicken McGriddles.
Yeah.
But that it's it.
I don't think I've had the chicken one. It sounds great.
I'm not even necessarily a McGriddle guy, but the chicken one is something special.
Yeah.
But anyways, like I get my drink and I'm like, I didn't really think too much of it, but I was like, it just looks a little lighter on the top, right? Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not thinking too much. Like maybe the syrup is a little at the end, so maybe it won't taste like, you know, whatever. And then I get home, and again, I'm expecting a Dr. Pepper. I go to take a drink, and my face, I almost spit out the drink because it was tea, and I was expecting Dr. Pepper.
And you were expecting something carbonated, too.
And I've typically never been much of a tea guy. I don't hate tea, but I don't typically like tea. And I kind of made a face like, oh, my God, this is disgusting. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait a second. I think I like tea now. I drank the whole thing. And like I used to not really have like an affinity for really, you know, there are some teas like I've occasionally had like a strawberry flavor tea, right? And I'm like, and it's always been fine, but never just normal tea.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, huh, I think I like tea now. And I drank the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I like tea. I'm good with tea now. That's one thing, like, you don't understand as a kid is how your taste buds change over life, and the things that you used to hate, you're going to love one day. Because, like, peppers are that for me, where I hated anything spicy growing up, and now I want my food to be so spicy I cry. That's an experience, man.
The problem is that all you need for the peppers to do is to be like, you're never going to truly feel love. But, I mean, I get that you also want it to be spicy.
I mean, that's spicy.
That's hurt true. Me. I guess in a way it's spicy.
Physically and emotionally.
That's right.
Pain is pain.
I wish I wouldn't have spoke over you saying hurt me physically and emotionally, but, you know, I made a mistake this segment. It was ending that liner before it ever had a chance to begin.
Just hurt me.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about the three new players the Chiefs added today. They hit their 90-man roster and then also added another player, so I'm guessing we're going to see someone headed off of the roster relatively soon.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes?
You know, it's a great point, Rudy. I'm glad that somebody's mentioning it because I feel like, honestly, at this point, you know, we got to
sign an undrafted free agent.
We got to start talking about this as a possibility.
Compared to Case Keenum.
It could save a lot of money against the cap.
Case Keenum.
Not for a while, but eventually, someday, it would probably be some money against the cap. No, I don't think it'll be Mahomes. They didn't sign another quarterback, but they did sign a couple of defenders that I think could actually have a role on this team. And I think that there is a positive way and a little bit of a bummer way of reading into at least one of the signings. We'll explain that whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
One other thing that I'm happy to get to bring in some hopefully new listeners to is the idea of getting to see or I guess hear the sausage being made a little bit.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I want you to get to see some sports radio sausage being made. Gross.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we can talk about a few of the things here that happened today for the Chiefs. Also, I've neglected to mention this so far. We won't do it alone. We've got two guests on the docket for tonight. We'll talk to Robert Remsen of Fox 4 coming up here in about half an hour, and we'll talk mostly Chiefs draft with him, and then same deal for Tucker D. Franklin, the little Chiefs boy, deputy editor of Arrowhead Report, and host of the Referee the Kicker Chiefs podcast. We'll talk to him about the Chiefs draft class, and also we'll do some power rankings with Tucker. We got three good categories today. I feel pretty good about what we're going to be putting out there with Tucker. So that's the plan. Robert at 8, Tucker at 9, Rudy and I here all show long. A few pieces of news today from the Chiefs, one of them happening about an hour ago or so. The Chiefs did sign a somewhat veteran linebacker, Kamaili Correa. He was a second-round draft pick back in 2016, selected by the Ravens. He played there for a couple of years. He played a couple of years in Tennessee, split time last year with the Jags and the Titans. A bit of a journeyman off after being the second-round pick that he was, 42nd overall, which is kind of interesting. You know, the Chiefs tend to find guys to fill out the depth chart that had high ceilings like that, which I don't mind at all, by the way. I think that's a pretty interesting strategy. But he had some injury issues early on and ultimately was traded to the Titans for a sixth-round pick ahead of the 2018 season for a sixth-round 2019 pick. So the Ravens are ready to move on pretty early on there. This, I think, has a chance to be a pretty easy one-to-one. Like, I will not pretend to tell you exactly where he's going to fit in this defense. I do not know enough about him. I've not learned enough in the last 30 minutes to say, oh, well, maybe he's your Damian Wilson replacement. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Chiefs will have in mind. I'm wondering if we'll get a little baby film review from Seth Kizer, or I'll be able to take a closer look after the show today. Try to figure out where he's most likely to slot in. But the Chiefs right now have a very, even after drafting Nick Bolton with their first pick of the 2021 draft, the Chiefs have a relatively thin group at linebacker, depending on where you make that cutoff, especially if you think that Bolton and Hitchens are a bit redundant, which at least in year one, I do think that's probably going to be the case. So you have Ben Neiman, Willie Gay, Anthony Hitchens, Nick Bolton. It would be nice to have one more guy, especially if you think that he could be a little bit versatile. Having Correa in to do a little bit of all of that would be nice if he is able to bring a little veteran experience that can just sort of be helpful without hopefully him ever having to start. Clearly, with a highly paid player in Hitchens and two second-round picks in Gay and Bolton, and a guy who's been in this defense for a while in Neiman, it seems pretty clear that right now Correa is the fifth linebacker in that group, but I could definitely see them carrying five linebackers pretty well.
Z-Man says the player to be cut will probably be Nick Bolton, since they already have a larger version of him and Anthony Hitchens. He then also says he has to go have a bowl of Magic Spoon after he shaves his man parts. Thanks, Briscoe.
You may not have heard this if you only listen to the show live or watch the show on the video feeds, but our podcasts are now sponsored by Manscaped, and you can get 20% off your order with free shipping with the promo code ALMOST. And if you do that now, it will benefit us in the long run. Go do it.
Almost certainly.
Will it make your whole situation better?
Almost.
Yes. No, the answer is just yes, actually.
Almost yes. Almost entirely yes.
Almost entirely, absolutely. They make a quality product.
It's very nice.
It really is very good. I got some extra copy points recently, and I admire their stick-to-itiveness as a company, man. They make some choices in what they not only allow, but encourage you to say. I admire them as a company. They really go balls out.
I don't get it.
So Correa could be interesting. I don't know if he would have to beat out Ben Neiman for a spot. I don't know what he looks like in coverage. I don't know if he's going to be a thumper that gives you a little versatility at the Sam position. We'll have to see. But having another linebacker in there for some depth, with, you know, no offense to, I'm not even sure, you know, I think Darius Harris is still on the roster. It's maybe he can continue to compete for that spot. Yeah, according to our lads, he is still on there. Could be a final put on notice for Dorian O'Daniel, I suppose, who's still out here for at least one more year, I believe, on his rookie contract. Also, all of those guys need to be special team contributors, so if they all get close to being on the same level defensively, the winner will be whoever Dave Tobe likes the most, I imagine, so. Something to keep an eye on. Not necessarily a huge needle mover there, but what I think could be, you know what, I'm going to give you the other quickie one here really quick. The Chiefs signed receiver Chris Finke, formerly out of Notre Dame. If he makes a splash in training camp, maybe there's something there. I'm not going to hold my breath about it. I think this roster has some relative depth at receiver, despite not really having a ton of super top-end talent. I don't know if he's out here competing with Garrett Dieter and Marcus Kemp. I don't know what his special teams prowess may be. I don't know if he's got anything for you in the return game. He would have to really outperform a guy like Cornell Powell to be able to take that roster spot from him, considering that we're talking about one draft pick and one guy that they just sort of picked up even post-draft here. So
he would have to outperform, honestly, even a lot of guys in general, because they like right. Marcus Kemp. They obviously, Garrett Dieter, they feel comfortable with Garrett Dieter, Byron. Like, those are guys who you're really, even though they're lower-level receivers, you really got to impress the coaching staff to get ahead of them.
Yeah. Because
like a guy like, I almost said Jody Foster.
Jody Fortson, baby!
Jody Fortson, who they love.
I love.
Who like they talk about all
him.
The time.
I don't know if they love him.
I mean, they talk about him a lot. I feel like they talk, I feel like everything you hear is that they, you know, obviously they love the size, the athleticism, but like he cannot break that core up.
Yeah. I'm trying to make sure that I get the details right on this. Yeah, so Finke, I guess it could be pronounced either Fink or Funk. I think it's probably Finke. He was at Notre Dame. He's 5'9", about 190, so not a huge dude. Maybe there's a little role that he can work for himself. If nothing else, you can keep an eye on him during training camp. If he's going to make the team, he will do something that will make us more aware of his work before he ends up making that final cut. God bless him. Good luck. We're rooting for him. His nickname is the Slippery Fox. That is powerful.
He should make the team.
I hope he makes the team based on that alone. Nearly an FCC violation, but, you know. Rooting for the Slippery Fox. But the addition today that came a little bit after the addition of the Slippery Fox, and before the new linebacker, I actually think has a decent chance of making the roster, depending on how camp goes and everything. They signed former Broncos safety defensive back Will Parks, and I basically used the phrase defensive back instead of safety almost completely off of a tweet from Matt Derrick, who tweeted about him as maybe being slot competition to cover in the slot. But here's the gist of it. So he's on a 1-year deal that could be worth up to $1.13 million, according to Adam Schefter. Not a super guaranteed deal, at least as far as we know right now. Not a super high dollar deal. He seems stoked to be in Kansas City. He broke the news himself, actually. Schefter tweeted about it a few minutes after he himself tweeted about it, which is kind of funny. He was a 6th-round pick by the Broncos back in 2016. Spent a few years there. He ended up getting a 1-year deal in Philadelphia, got hurt, got released, went back to December last year. So, fine enough. 4 interceptions, 72 appearances, 18 starts, 180 tackles. There are 2 very different ways, though, that I could feel about this particular move. Again, noting, just to be terribly, terribly honest, that all of these could end up absolutely coming out in the wash. You might just go, you might be, knock on wood, Lord willing, maybe you're attending training camp this year and you see a Parks in the defensive backfield. This segment is so you know who he is then. But also, I do think that the intent is a very interesting detail here. If the Chiefs are bringing him in to just work with the safeties and to compete, obviously he's behind Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, Dan Sorensen. Easy. But then you have a guy like Armani Watts, who's kind of in a relatively similar place to a guy like Dorian O'Daniel, who the Chiefs never really trust to be on the field defensively very often, seem to like them a lot on special teams. They fill out a roster. They're an okay depth piece, but they certainly never reach the ceiling that you started hoping for immediately after draft day. A good thing to keep in mind whenever we're talking about this year's draft class, as we have the liner that we've played, I think, at least once a week the last few weeks. We all got real horny for Tre'Mont Smith, you know? The fact that most of those guys don't end up doing much of anything at the pro level is, I think, a good thing to keep in mind. So we don't, you know, necessarily expect Cornell Powell to actually be Sammy Watkins at the NFL level. And if he does, great. If L'Jarius Sneed is that guy, awesome. But maybe, you know, it's not necessarily wise to expect that all of your draft picks are going to all be all pros. So, again, take that for what it's worth. But if you bring him in to compete with essentially Armani Watts and not a whole lot else behind them there, Rodney Clemens and Chris Lammons, I guess, you find DiCaprio Boodle, whose name has come up as an undrafted free agent mostly because we wanted to talk about his name. You bring in a guy that has played some meaningful snaps at an okay level, but was obviously available for a cheap deal after the draft. Take him for what you can get there. And if he beats out Armani Watts in training camp, fine. All right. That's all right. You know, you may the best man win there. You want to have the best depth you can, especially for a team that likes to play three safeties on the field at the same time quite a bit. That would be perfectly fine with me. What I hope this doesn't mean, and this is sort of, again, taking Matt's tweet and wondering if he knows more than the rest of us do, because he does. If the thought is, you know what, he can come compete essentially with Rashad Fenton, and one of those guys is going to be like your starting slot corner, so you can leave Snead on the outside, and so you win him on the field 100% of the snaps, but you'd rather have him just be on the outside as opposed to being in the slot and then kicking outside whenever there's not a slot to cover. Whenever you're not in a sub package, you still want him on the field. So you just keep him outside. If the goal is to have Parks and Fenton competing for the slot job and Ward and Snead are just your starting outside corners, that would be a little bit of a bummer at this point. Nate Taylor did tweet earlier in the day today that the door is open for the Chiefs and Bashaud Breeland, but nothing is imminent right now. We'll circle back, but I thought that there was a very, very good chance that something would be imminent after the draft. And then Matt told us, you know, Monday night, he thought there was a percent chance, a percent, 1% that they ended up being reuniting this year. But again, Nate said a few hours ago, there's still a possibility of the Chiefs sign Bashaud Breeland, but nothing imminent. Nothing is imminent per sources. I think this team could really still use I think there are two remaining actual concerns on this roster at this point. And it's all on a sliding scale, right? I guess maybe 2.5, but it's all a sliding scale. Your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. Your offensive line is unfair. And you feel really good about your safeties. And you have a group of pass catchers, counting Travis Kelce, that is going to mean that the offense is going to be deadly. And you know, at this point, the defense is going to be, it's going to be aight. Is it going to be great? I don't know, but it's going to be aight. My half there is on the receiver position, wide receiver two, and just hoping that somebody steps up there and really takes that role definitively. I don't really care who it is at this point. If it's DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman or Cornell Powell or whatever, I just kind of hope somebody ends up being the second receiver out of this group definitively, because they won the job, not because everybody else didn't win it enough. But because they have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, it's not going to shake the team to its core unless one of those guys gets hurt. If one of those guys gets hurt, you are in trouble anyway. The two spots now, though, that I do look at as being places where they legitimately would have a chance of being exploited at some point in 2021 is at corner and at edge rusher. The rotation of Taco Charlton, Mike Dana, Josh Kando now even is fine. But it would be a whole lot better if those guys were rotating in for Frank Clark and someone else. And I think they know that, because, I mean, you know, even with Alex Okafor, they still got Emmanuel Agba, and they still draft Mike Dana. Spags wants that rotation of guys, so I'm going to keep holding out hope that somebody ends up being there. Melvin Ingram's a gamble because of his health, but you think, you know what, if we can get 8, 10, 12 games out of him, maybe that's enough to justify. I don't know what that cutoff would be, but you like to have somebody that you feel like you could rely on a little bit, especially when right now, just the truth of the matter is that we're not 100% sure what to expect from Frank Clark. But specifically, the relation to the signing of Parks here is that I don't understand why anyone at this point would be really wanting to push Snead out of the slot and to the edge. Again, the best point that I've heard is that, well, you do want him on the field as much as possible.
So if you have him running on and off the field for sub packages, now he's playing 70, 75% of the snaps instead of 100% of the snaps. And you can make an argument that he's the best corner on this roster. So you want him on there for 100% of the snaps, but you don't necessarily want him sliding from slot to outside of the slot to outside over the course of a game. I get that. But also, I like watching Legarius Sneed blitz out of the slot. I like seeing him be weaponized in that way. And we are so far past the years of your worst corner being the guy that covers the slot, because your worst receiver is no longer always in the slot. You find the elite guys like Calvin Ridley will line up in the slot some. DeAndre Hopkins will line up in the slot. Obviously, Tyreek Hill will line up in the slot. Travis Kelce lines up in the slot. The great pass-catching tight ends, Darren Waller, lines up in the slot.
He's not this guy anymore, but for years, Larry Fitzgerald has
absolutely
just destroyed people in the slot.
And I think that most Chiefs fans, like, I'm probably preaching to the choir at least a little bit, because I think we learned the value of that with Kendall Fuller a couple years back, where there was an argument that maybe he was the best corner on this team and he was predominantly in the slot and then kind of ended up in that sort of Spags
kind of a
hybrid
almost
role. Yeah. I like the idea of having an excellent player in that sort of hybrid position. I also think Tyrann Mathieu in some ways checks some of those boxes, and you see the value of that there.
I like using players, and I think this is something that gets lost in the NFL quite frequently, like players that are versatile,
yeah,
using their versatility. I think so often, I think coaches fall into the zone of, okay, you know, this is what a guy, like, this guy is good, we want him just to do this. Like, maybe we don't want him to do, whether it's because you don't want him to do too much, maybe you think it's a little more wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is understandable, right? Like, giving Tyreek Hill less carries or using him a little bit less in punt return because you don't want to risk him getting hurt in a spot where he's not at, you know what I mean, a less
yeah.
valuable spot. That part's understandable.
Yeah.
I think having a guy like Legarius Sneed, who, I don't know how difficult it is to play both inside and outside on defense in a single drive, let alone a single game. Maybe it's incredibly difficult. Maybe it's not. Maybe we overrate that aspect. I honestly don't know because I've never played corner in the NFL. I'd be really curious to see, like, you know, like, I, when we have a chance, like, talk to somebody or something, somebody asks, like, what that challenge is like.
Yeah.
Like, because he did, obviously had to do a little bit of that last year with Bashaud Breeland's suspension.
His role changed before and after his injury.
Yes. And so, like, I'd be curious to see what that is. But, like, I like the idea of having Sneed do a lot of different things, sometimes playing outside, sometimes playing inside, sometimes almost, I guess, you know, essentially just as like as an edge rusher. Like yeah. I like that idea. I think there's a lot of value to that. And it seems like we kind of almost like we're getting away from that a little bit in the NFL where versatility is great. You're seeing more mm-hmm. of that with Isaiah Simmons, Jeremy Chinn. But like I like the idea of having a defender who is just insanely versatile and using that.
It's for me also there's something to it with like with Chris Jones. Everyone, like, he's so good in the middle, why not move him to the edge? Well, he's really good in the middle. Like,
yeah.
I like being able to let guys play to their most definitive strengths, and if they have versatility that can be used in different roles. Eric Berry was a great example of using that versatility well, where whenever there was a vacancy somewhere on the roster, he could go be the Band-Aid that would cover up that vacancy. But whenever he could be used as a weapon, he could be a weapon.
Yep.
And so it's a little bit apples and oranges there on Sneed, but it's something that something I've been thinking about sort of post-draft since they didn't add a corner and they haven't signed Breeland. But the other thing there is that I would like for Bashaud Breeland to end up back because right now there are reasons to be optimistic about cornerbacks 4 and 5 on this roster, and there are also tremendous red flags on those guys. And I might be able to say that about guys 1, 2, and 3 as well. So 1, 2, and 3 right now, whatever order you want, I think it's probably this: Sneed, Ward, Fenton. Legarius Sneed looked great. Also, corner is a very volatile position. Sometimes guys fall off. Travarius Ward is an example of that to some extent. He was really good 2 years ago. He was just kind of okay last year. Had some more struggles. I think he's a very good player. And you can put him on the outside and feel fine about him being your number 2 corner. But it's... It,
The hate on him is it has moved around quickly enough on Chiefs Twitter that I think maybe you can learn a lesson from that.
He's not quite Marcus Cooper, where he was really good and then just was terrible.
No, he's been better than that.
But you see that volatility almost from a game to game standpoint with him a little bit last year.
Yeah, and so I think it's something to keep in mind with Snead as well.
It's not like a sure thing lockdown. I don't want people to be like Josh thinks. Trevarius Ward's trash. He's just saying he's not Darrell Revis. He's not a shutdown, guaranteed lockdown.
Right, because I think there are probably like five of those guys in the league at any given point.
There's ups and downs with them.
With all corners. I think I like Trevarius Ward more than
the average person.
Than almost any Chiefs sort of adjacent person. Yeah. I think he's towards the top end of guys that still experience that sort of week-to-week volatility because it's really playing corners really hard and it's a very volatile position. Fenton, I kind of like in the slot, but I'm not willing to have him just be like the surefire starter there because I just don't. I love Rashad Fenton as your fourth corner, and I'm a little more concerned with him as your three. The issue, though, is guys four and five here. DeAndre Baker is a first-round talent that the Chiefs have at a great price, and I love that. He also broke his leg in week 17. So, like, I don't know that his return is going to be a bit of a tumultuous one and not something you want to be gambling on. And then Bo Pete Keys, you can say they have the tools and they traded up for him and everything last year, traded back into the draft for him last year. I just have no way of knowing if he's ready to be an NFL corner or not. You add Bashaud Breeland, though, and if you think he's number one, number two, and number three, I don't really care. What it does, though, is it allows Snead to play predominantly in the slot, or at least to cover the slot whenever the slot position is, you know, needing to be covered. And also, it knocks everybody down a peg. At least it knocks down Fenton and Baker and Bo Pete Keys down a peg. And I think that is a series of reasons that it's worth adding Breeland, because it makes you better at the top, and it makes you better throughout the depth chart. And I'm a little bit confused and a little bummed that the Chiefs haven't made that move yet because I think it would be pretty obviously helpful.
And one quick thing with him and even just in terms of, like, why not? The benefit of Breeland over any veteran corner, he knows this defense. Like, he can come in and you don't have to worry about a guy learning a new defense because he knows it. And you know him, which is also – and we get caught up sometimes in does a player know the defense? Spags knows Breeland. He knows what he can do. He knows what he can't do. And then there's a lot of value there.
And I'm not sure why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'd be curious to know what side, like, are the Chiefs really high on him, but he's not. He's looking for something else. Is he really high on coming back to the Chiefs, but the Chiefs really aren't in him? I'd be curious what that is.
I would be, too.
Because it makes sense. It just seems to make all the sense in the world. Which means it won't happen because the things that we think make sense never happen.
Almost never.
Almost entirely never.
No, it didn't make any sense, Rudy.
A-E-N.
Doesn't make any sense. We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, I don't know, we have like 60 seconds to talk about something. We'll talk to Robert Remsen of Fox 4 in about 10 minutes.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We get so horny for Tre'Mont Smith.
I do not regret that choice of words. I chose it purposefully.
We do?
As a fan base. Yes! Armani Watts really gets our heart pumping.
Who else is it?
Khalil McKenzie really gets our juices flowing here in Kansas City.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Couple Twitch comments here. Credible Hulk says, we're already crowning our O-line. I think so, because if this offensive line isn't good, I would just be that level of surprised. Like, I do think it's a dangerous game to say, they fixed their line, they fixed anything before you actually see them play football together. But with the amount they've invested, it would be very difficult for me to see it not really panning out that way. Also from Credible Hulk on Breeland, I think with his age, he's still trying to get that last good contract, probably the biggest holdup for him. I agree with that. I think he's probably trying to still... He's been on one-year deals now since he had the whole, like, infected foot thing that ended up killing his deal with the Panthers. So, yeah, obviously, he is still trying to find a multi-year substantive deal. I would give him a multi-year deal if I was the Chiefs for maybe two legit years and a third kind of fake one. That wouldn't bother me any. Right now, I'm not sure what the Chiefs' price point is, but I think at this point is the most interesting thing to me. We'll talk to Robert Remsen about that and other stuff. Chiefs draft next.